Our scripture this morning is Acts chapter 6 as we continue our journey through this book. Today we arrive at chapter 6. We'll be looking at the first seven verses for our scripture today. Let's hear the word of the Lord as recorded through Luke under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Luke writing says, "In those days, when the number of the disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, 'It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word.' This proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also Philip, Procurius, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. And so the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith." Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it, shall we pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for its truth, revealed to us by your Spirit. Lord, your Spirit breathed it into existence for us. And I pray that through your word this morning, our hearts would wait before you. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have for us today. Not only give us understanding of your word, but I pray that you would challenge us, you would speak and penetrate into the deepest parts of each one of us, that we would hear you speak to us personally, and that we would leave here, Lord, taking the action that your word calls us to, that it may transform us daily, more and more into your likeness and image. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever gone out to eat and have had really bad service? You're laughing. I hear you laughing out there. You must have. I see the smiles on that. Maybe you waited for an extremely long time for someone to come and wait on you or take your order, or even to bring you a drink order. Or maybe they got your order mixed up or prepared your food in the wrong way, and that's especially bad if you order steak. And you want your steak medium rare, and they make it rare or well done. Or maybe someone was standing around talking to other people. One of the servers was standing around talking to other people instead of attending to you and to your needs. Have you ever had that happen? I have. And how do you respond in times like that? You can get frustrated. You can get angry. You can say, "I'm going to speak to the manager." Or you can sit there patiently. There's a lot of ways you can respond. Those things can lead to times of a frustration, impatience, conflict. And that's what was happening in our scripture this morning. The church was gathered together, and Luke says the church was growing rapidly. More and more people were coming to faith in Christ. And we read in Acts chapter 4, that part of the practice was that people would sell their property willingly. We had talked about that. And they would bring the money and they would lay it at the apostles' feet. And the apostles would distribute the money or distribute to those in need. And that was going on, but there was two different groups of people. We'll talk more about them a little bit later. The Hebraic Jews and the Grecian Jews, or the Hellenistic Jews. And a conflict rose among them because they felt they were not getting their needs met. Their tables, their food was not being distributed as well as they thought the others' ones were, and a conflict arose. And so the apostles met together and brought the church together and said, "We're going to come up with a plan and a proposal." you choose 7 men from your own fellowship, from the congregation, and they need to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we'll turn that responsibility of waiting on the tables and serving over to them, and we'll keep our responsibility on the Word of God in prayer. Gary, this was the first board meeting. This was the election of the first board leaders of the church. And said, you choose board leaders, you choose leaders from the congregation who will handle the administrative affairs. It will take care of administrating things. And we will take care of the spiritual matters of the Word and a prayer. And it pleased the group. And they did. And the results were the church continued to grow. And that's what was happening here. But from this story, from this account that happened in the early church, we can learn 4 lessons that are practical that we can apply to our life for all of us when it comes to, because you and I all have been chosen to serve. Every one of us have been called by the Lord and given gifts to serve Him. And as we already sang, there is joy in the service of the King. And when we serve Him with that joy, and we all have been called there. So there's 4 lessons we can learn. And the first one is this. We need to address problems head on, not let them go. And that when problems arise, either between you and another person, maybe within your family, within the church, within anywhere, when problems arise, we need to address them head on and not let them go, because we learn from this passage, conflicts will occur. Wherever there are people, there's going to be conflict. Is that true? Because we're all going to see things differently. We're all not going to always get along. And there can be conflict even in marriages. Even the best marriages can have conflict. Anybody amen to that? Marriages can occur, not for Nick. He doesn't have conflict. But in marriages, there can be conflict. Not in Bob and Carolyn's. There's a perfect. Or there can be conflict in families. Within families, conflicts can arise. There can be conflicts anywhere there's people. You can even go out to eat and have conflict. One time, Kim and I, we went to Mountjoy Diner for dinner. And we were sitting in Mountjoy Diner for dinner. We were waiting. We had ordered our drinks, and we were waiting for the waiter server to come and to take our order. And all of a sudden, well, our server and one of the other servers started in a fight. I mean, they were yelling and screaming at each other at the top of their lungs. And it was bad. And then it got worse because all the people in the restaurant started taking sides. One was for one waitress and one was for the other. And they're screaming at each other. And the place is exploding in conflict. And Kim and I are like, this really made us feel uncomfortable. We said, we're out of here. And we did. We left. But I mean, they were yelling, they were screaming. He can't even go out to eat sometimes without conflict arising. And conflict, believe it or not, can even arise in churches. And we often think of the church of Acts, the early church in the book of Acts. We think of them, oh, they were the perfect church. How wonderful it must have been to be a part of the early church. God was moving. God was working. We say, wow. How great it was. But even there, they had conflict. Acts records it here. Luke records it for us because he wants us to know that there's no perfect church. And it's been said, if you're looking for the perfect church, don't go and join it, because once you go, it won't be perfect anymore. Because none of us are perfect. And there's been a saying, living up there with the saints above, that will be glorious. But living down here with the saints below, that's a different story. Because we have to learn how to relate to each other and how to deal with the conflicts that will arise. So we tend to think, but Luke tells us about a conflict that arose here. He said, in those days, when the disciples were growing and increasing, the church was growing, and often that's when God worked, when Satan works. When God is doing good things, you can be sure Satan's going to be there to fight it. And the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews. So who were these people? There was a conflict between the Hellenistic Jews and the Hebraic Jews that broke out because the Hellenistic Jews felt that their widows were not being given as much food. They were being neglected. and not given as much as the Hebraic Jews. What was going on here? Well, the two groups of people, the Hellenistic Jews in the early church, remember, everybody was Jewish. There was not Gentiles saved yet. We didn't get to that part of the church. So at this point, everybody who is a member of the church were Jews of Jewish descent. But the Hellenistic Jews, meaning Greek, they came from the part of the Greek Roman Empire that was not in Jerusalem. They lived in other parts of the Roman Empire, and because of that, they spoke Greek. They adopted a lot of the Greek culture. They adopted a lot of the Greek ways. And so they were more Greek in their background and in their... The Hellenistic Jews, the Hebraic Jews, were living in Jerusalem. They spoke Hebrew. They followed the Hebrew law completely. And so there were two different groups of people. They were both Jewish, but they had cultural distinctives and language that separated them. Now, the practice, the church was distributing food to those in need, and it wasn't an intent. The apostles weren't really neglecting the Hellenistic widows. They weren't really neglecting them, but some of the people thought they were. It's just that they were so busy, they were being overwhelmed, and a conflict arose between them. And so the church addressed it. In James chapter 1, verse 27, it said, James, who was a leader of the church at Jerusalem, said that religion that God accepts as pure and faultless is this, to care for widows in their distress. So it wasn't that they were neglecting them. It's just that maybe they were being overwhelmed and they thought the language barrier and the cultural barriers could have made a little bit of a distinction. But a conflict arose and they were complaining about that. And then there was another dispute that was going to break out later between Paul and Barnabas. Paul was a leader, and Paul and Barnabas were both missionaries. And you know about the great apostle Paul and how he preached and wrote a lot of the word of God. And after their first missionary journey, they went preaching, and God brought a lot of people to faith. They decided they were going to do a second missionary journey. They were going to go out again. And Barnabas wanted to take his nephew, Mark, with them. And Paul says, no, you're not going to take Mark because he left us. He forsook us halfway on the trip. We're not taking him along. And they had a conflict and dispute so heavy, it says, that they split up and they went two different ways. And Barnabas took Mark and Paul took Silas. So even the great apostle Paul and Barnabas had conflict and had fighting amongst them. And then there was the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth was a church that was plagued with division, plagued with all kinds of problems. But Paul wrote to them in 1 Corinthians 10:1-13, he says, what I hear about you is not good. He said, there's divisions among you. Some of you say, I follow Paul. Some of you say, I follow Barnabas. And he said, that's not good. And then you get on to chapter 11, verses 17 to 22, and he's given them instructions about the Lord's Supper. And he said they were coming to the Lord's Supper, and some of them were gorging themselves, and they were thinking about themselves. They were not thinking about others, and they were coming to the love feast and only thinking about themselves and not caring for those around them. And that church was plagued with divisions and conflict within it, and Paul was addressing that. And then you go to the book of Philippians. And there were two women. Anybody ever heard of these names? Euodia and Syntyche? Two women who were servants in the church and companions of Paul. Paul knew them well. But for some reason, the church of Philippi was a church that was known for joy and its generosity. It was not a church known for division or problems at all, but within that church were two women who couldn't get along. And Paul wrote to them and said, I urge you to get along with each other. So conflicts will arise. And that's who we see here in the Word of God. Conflicts will occur. So address problems head on. Don't let them go. So what do we do? Seek resolution quickly. Notice what he said here. What Luke says, the conflict arose in verse 1. So verse 2, right away, the 12 gathered together all the disciples and addressed the problem. And they said, well, you choose 7 men among you who are full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we'll turn that over to them, and we'll devote ourselves to the reading of the word, to the preaching of the word in prayer, and they can you Let them wait on the tables and take care of that need and address it. And they solved the problem and resolved it quickly, and it brought happiness to the church. The church was content with that. It pleased them. It says, verse 5, the proposal pleased the whole group. We need to resolve when you have a conflict with someone. We need to resolve it quickly and don't let it lead to bitterness, because it can come to bitterness. It can lead to resentment. It can lead to division. Or like Cain, it can lead to harm wanting to happen to that person. That's what happened to Cain and Abel. The bitterness and resentment in Cain's heart towards his brother Abel led him to wanting to have harm. And if we don't deal with those things, we want to see that person suffer harm. So there's two different ways we can deal with conflict in our life. We can have fight or flight. And some people, when they get into conflict, man, they'll fight. And someone challenges them, boy, they'll fight back. And they'll really, someone lays up the ante, they'll bring it up even higher. Or they can flight. When someone challenges them, they just fly away. They just leave. Or there's confrontation, and a person can become very confrontive, or just hope people avoid the problem, thinking if we avoid it, it will go away. Now, I stand before you as one that say, I hate conflict. I hate it. And I'm one of a person that stands on the avoidance side. You know, if a conflict comes to me, I'll try to do everything I can to avoid it. Anybody else like that? I don't like to deal with it. I'll try to avoid it, hoping that if I avoid it long enough, it will go away. But sometimes that does not happen, and that's not always the best way to go. And we learn from the scripture here that when those problems come, when conflicts with people, we need to deal with them head on. In Matthew, turn with me in Matthew chapter 5, the words of Jesus. This is our Lord speaking, again, the words of Christ. So they're in red in the scripture, reminding us that Jesus himself said this. In chapter 5, verse 22, Jesus was teaching. This is part of a Sermon on the Mount where he was teaching about Christian living. And he said, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother, verse 22, will be subject to judgment. Anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin. Anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Verse 23, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, if you come to worship, or you come into the presence of the Lord, and there remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So Jesus said, if you have something against someone, realize that. First go and deal with that, and then come back to me and worship me. Then he goes on to say, verse 25, settle matters quickly with your adversary who has taken you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer and be thrown into prison. So Jesus says, settle matters quickly. Don't let it go on. But if you have an issue with someone, go to that person. Because he tells us in Matthew chapter 18, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you've won your brother over. And so Jesus' instruction is, if you have a conflict with someone or perceived conflict, go to that person and talk to them about it. Don't go to somebody else. And we have a tendency to go to somebody else. But go to that person and talk to them. If they don't listen to you, that's between them and the Lord. But if they've listened to you, then that's been reconciled. But if they don't listen to you, they're accountable to that. So sometimes we say, well, I'm not going to them. They're the ones that wronged me. And I'll wait for them to come. But sometimes God wants us to take that first step. So address problems head on. Don't let them go. That's the first lesson we see. Second lesson we learn from this is to keep the main thing the main thing. Keep the main thing the main thing. The apostles said when they gathered the church together, they said in verse 2, it's not right. It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. God has called us, he said, as the apostles, to teach the word and to prayer. And for us to give our time to waiting on the table is the administrative duties that can be handed over to somebody else. Let Gary, let the board take care of that. Hand that over to them. It would not be, keep the main thing the main thing. And what is the main thing? Not, he says, don't neglect what's important. And that's what the apostles said. We can't neglect. It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word in order to wait on tables. And sometimes Satan can distract us and in our life as believers, keeping us from not keeping the main thing in our life. And as believers and children of God, we can neglect what's most important. And we can be busy in our life doing a lot of things. And they can be good things. But we neglect what is most important in our life. And what is most important in our life, the main thing, is this, the word and prayer. And if we neglect that for a bunch of other stuff we're doing, even maybe for the Lord, but we're neglecting the word and prayer, we've neglected what's most important. We need to keep the main thing, individually in our life, but also in a church. Because in a church, we can get busy doing a lot of other things, and we neglect what God's called us to, and that's the proclamation of the word of God, prayer, and making disciples. And keeping that focus where it needs to be, keeping the main thing there. He said it would not be right for us to neglect that. So that's the challenge this morning. Are you keeping the main thing in your life? Are you neglecting what's most important, the word and prayer, because we're too busy doing other stuff that may be good, but is really not the most important thing in our life? The word and prayer is what we're called to first. They said in verse 6:4, we will devote ourselves to the ministry, the prayer, and to the ministry of the word. And that's our first devotion to the prayer and to the word of God, not neglecting that in our life and not neglecting that as a church. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, we read that Jesus himself would go away by his own in solitude and pray. And at times he would pull away from himself and spend times in prayer, it said, even all night. And if Jesus devoted himself and needed times of alone in solitude and prayer, how much more do we? And Jesus set that example of the importance of keeping prayer and the word the main thing and central in our life and not neglecting that. And don't get distracted from your calling. The apostles said, we're not going to neglect the word for the waiting on tables. You find men who are qualified to do that, spiritually qualified, who have a good relationship with the Lord, and we'll turn that over to them, but we're not going to neglect what we have been called to do. Because we can become very busy doing even good things that it can keep us from the main things. So keep the main thing. The main thing. The third thing, lesson we learn, is that ministry is meant to be shared. God never intended for one person to do it all. God never intended the pastor, me, to do all the ministry in the church. On the front of our bulletin, it says our ministers, and it has all of us. Because ministry is meant to be shared. It's never been intended for one. And the apostles made that said that here. They said, it did not. You choose 7 men among you known to be full of the Holy Spirit. We will turn this responsibility to them, verse 3, and we will give our attention to the prayer and the ministry of the word, to the spiritual matters. You take care of the administrative things. We'll take care of the spiritual things and the ministry of the word and prayer. Because no one person can do it all. God never intended it to be that way. But he intended all of us as a family to be working together, supporting together each other in the work of the ministry, as we all have been called to serve with the gifts we've been given. Because we all have been called to ministry, every one of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, now to each one of us, the ministration of the Spirit has been given for the common good. That God has given every single one of us, you and I, every person in this room, gifts for ministry, for service that he's called you and I to do. For the common good of all of us. And it says when we all do our part together, the whole church grows together and gets stronger. Whatever those gifts are, whether it's, he said, in Romans, he said, if it's serving, serve. If it's administrating, administrate well. If it's faith, have faith, believing. If it's giving, give in abundance. But whatever those gifts are that God has given, use those gifts because it's shared ministry through all of us together in the work of God. Every one of us. And ministry is meant to be shared. And the fourth lesson we learned is that growth results from joint ministry. That when we all serve together in the gifts that God's given us, amazing things happen. Notice what Luke said was the result. Verse 6 and 7, they presented these men to the apostles, and it's interesting in the men they chose, and I just want to comment on this a minute. Luke says the names of the people they called. And the first one was Stephen. Stephen was listed first because next part of this chapter is going to go into something about Stephen. He became the first martyr, and right after this, we're going to see what happened to him. So he leads into Stephen, introduces him first. Then he talks about Philip because Philip's going to become very influential as well in what happens in the church and the spreading of the word of God. But they chose Stephen, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas. What's interesting about those is that every single one of those names are Greek. And so the church, when they decided who was going to serve, they chose Greek Jews from the Hellenistic Jews area of the church, those that people thought were neglected. They chose those men from that part of the church to be in the position of leadership. So it shows their sensitivity here, that they took those who had the complaint and said, okay, and they're sensitive to their need and put them in charge of the situation. But what is the result? We learned that growth results from joint ministry. Because what happened? They presented them to the apostles. They prayed, laid their hands on them. And Luke records for us three results. The word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So because of that, three great things happened. The church continued to grow. It didn't divide the church. The conflict only strengthened them. And when they resolved it, God worked through it. And when the ministry church, we all join together in the ministry that God's given us with the gifts that he's given us. And we use those, great things happen. His word spreads. More people come to know Jesus because the work of the gospel is expanded through the gift of giving. As people use that gift of giving, the gospel is able to be financed around the world and be shared, and more people can come to know Christ. As people use the gift of service, all those gifts God uses to share his word and to expand his word around the world when we use those gifts together in ministry. And his kingdom multiplies. And that's what God calls us to, a multiplication ministry, where as you look at the church here, the church increased rapidly. It wasn't just one or two being added to the church. It was multiplicative growth. And that's what God wants us to multiply our faith, that more and more people come to know him through the work of the church and through the kingdom growing and expanding. Here, more and more people came to Christ, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now imagine that. Luke recorded that here. What had just happened, we saw last week, is the apostles brought before the Sanhedrin and said, you can't speak in the name of Jesus anymore. And they threatened them. And the chief priests were afraid that more and more people were going to come to Christ. And here now, a large number of the priests were coming to faith. What do you think the chief priest thought about that? I'm sure he did not like that. But God's kingdom continued to multiply. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16, listen to what Paul writes to the church here, where he says this, talking about the gifts that God's given all of us. He said, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, and some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunningness and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ, And from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as what? As what? You with me? As each part does its work. So as each part does its work, the body will be built up and grow stronger. So what's that tell us? That tells us if we're not doing our part, the body's not going to grow strong. The body's going to become weak. The body's not going to grow into what God wants us to be. So growth results in joint ministry when we share together. So what is God saying this morning in his word as we apply this to our life? Is there someone in your life that you need to go to, someone in a conflict that you may need to go to and resolve, that you need to talk to? Settle those matters quickly. Don't let it address it head on. Don't let it go on. Or have you drifted away and not keeping the main thing the main thing? Other things have become more important and we don't have that main thing of the word and prayer. And taking that time and making sure that the word and prayer is central in your life and not neglecting what is most important, even for other service to God. And other service to God may be good, but if we're neglecting the word and prayer, we've neglected what's most important, keeping that main thing there. And then realizing that God has gifted every one of us and ministry is meant to be shared, and he wants us to get off the sideline and to get onto the playing field and use those gifts that he's given us for the expanding of the kingdom. And when he does, growth results as we all work together in the building up of the kingdom of God. So we're all called to serve. And we choose those gifts that he's given us under the power of the Holy Spirit. What is he saying to us this morning? And how does he want you to respond? Don't leave here today until you've done what he wants you to do. Maybe he's telling you need to go to somebody, pick up the phone, or call somebody or write a letter. Sometimes you hear of stories within families of family members who haven't talked to each other for years because some kind of conflict happened years and years and years and years ago. And family members don't talk to each other anymore. And maybe God's saying to you, you know, you need to sit down and write a letter to that person and try to resolve that. Whatever it is he's saying to do, take that action and listen to the Holy Spirit as he speaks to us. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word to us that is practical and we can always learn from. And even from this experience, we thank you that you record these events in the scripture, even within conflicts within the church, so that we can learn from it and how to resolve those things in our own life. Because, Lord, conflicts will occur wherever there's people, within marriages, within families, within homes, within workplaces, even between total strangers, and yes, even in the church. And when those things arise, Lord, help us to learn to resolve those and not let them go or not to avoid them, but like the apostles, to seek to resolve those in a way that brings glory to you. And Lord, we need the leading and direction of your Spirit to do that. And so, Lord, help us to respond in a way that is Christ-like in what we do. Lord, also reminding us this morning of keeping the main thing the main thing. And sometimes we can get so distracted with other things that are even good, but we neglect what's most important sometimes, and that's the word of God in prayer. We can do that in our life and even as a church. And so reminding us the priority always needs to be guarding that time with you in that prayer time and that time around your word. And Lord, they're reminding us again that every one of us is called, ministry is meant to be shared, and every one of us has been given gifts. And not to be just sitting on the sideline or burying those gifts, but to put them to use in your kingdom. And none of us are too old for that. If it's just prayer, if it's just giving, if it's faith, whatever it is, but to use those gifts faithfully for you in expanding your kingdom. And when that happens, Lord, we see your kingdom continue to grow and more people come to you. So thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word and the lessons we learn from it. And help us, Lord, not just to hear your word, but to respond in how you are leading us by your Spirit today and to put your word into practice and apply it into what you want us to do. So thank you, Lord, for your truth. Thank you for being a part of your family. And thank you, Lord, that you are at work within our midst. And Lord, there is truly joy in serving you. And may your joy, Lord, fill our hearts this morning, for every one of us have been called to your service to glorify you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we close this morning,